Good evening, family. It's good to be back. Yeah, so good to be here once again. Talk to you about the things that we've done the last couple of weeks. And I forgot the clicker. Give me one second. All right, thank you, Bob. So let's get to it. We have two reports to give tonight. The first one is going to be on the mission trip to the Yucatan. And then the second one is going to be on the mission trip to Baja. And Ray is going to do that. So the first trip to Yucatan, and where is Yucatan located? That's the map of Mexico. That corner right there, that red dot, that's the Yucatan. That's where my hometown is. That's where Merida is. That's where I lived for 20 years. And I miss it just a little bit. The heat is just the one thing that I don't miss. We'll get to that in just a second. The mission trip was in this town, the town called Tizimin. That blue arrow right there, that's where that's pointing. It's almost halfway between Merida, where my hometown is, and on the other side is Cancun. So it's kind of like the midway point in the Yucatan Peninsula. Very neat town, very colonial, one of the oldest cities in the Yucatan that was built by the Spaniards. It has a huge cathedral, colonial Victorian as well, architecture, very beautiful. But what was really more important there was the people. The church there had been there for 35 years, and there are about 70 to 80 people that gather in the congregation that we went there. And very wonderful people, great things that happened there, but the church has been very isolated for a long time. The preacher there has received some help from people, but because it's in the middle of nowhere, people like to go to either Merida or they like to go to Cancun, right? And so they find an excuse, and that's a good excuse to make mission trips there. But that town hasn't received much help. So the church from Beltline, Indicator, said, let's go there. So I tag along and went there. And it was really hot. I cannot tell you how exhausting it was to be there at 10 in the morning. It was already 80, 85 degrees at 10 in the morning, sometimes 90 by the time lunch hit. And the humidity was at 56%. We had to take a change of clothes because once we got there, you wore the same clothes until noon because then you would be soaking. The fans, we had a bunch of fans, and they would be blowing hot air. It was really actually nice to be outside than it was inside. And because the thing that I do, I work with VVS, I work with the kids, with the children there. We had to be under a tarp. Their church building is not big enough, so we had to be under a tarp. What did we do there? Haircuts. Ray's going to talk a little bit about that as well. But haircuts are a big deal there. People can't afford a haircut, so what they do is that either you have two haircuts. You let it grow, and then you shave it, or you buzz it. That's it. Kids either, you can tell who's had a haircut, because their hair is either buzzed and it's sticking out. It's really neat. It reminds me of my childhood a lot. We'll leave VVS for last. We had a medical group as well. We had two doctors. One of them is an anesthesiologist. The other one was a surgeon at the Decatur General Hospital. And they attended over 400 patients within the 5 days that they were there. Most of the cases were kind of like in Mexico, pretty much the same thing. Pain, diabetes, high blood pressure, and what was the other one? Pain, diabetes, high blood pressure, and there was one more. I wasn't working with the doctor, so I'm trying to remember what they told me. But those are the kind of things that we see mostly in Mexico. And so we had a lot of treatment. We had a lot of medicine to give to the people. Some people carry the medicine with them. Yes, the last thing was vitamins. People request vitamins all the time. They feel weak. They feel faint. And sometimes it's interesting that they don't know how it relates, how high blood pressure relates to that. They don't understand when they feel weak, they don't understand that also it could be because of the heat, because they don't drink enough water, because they're exposed in the sun. Sometimes because they have to work in a farm, they don't realize that what the problem is that they're bending over all the time, that they're using that all the time, so their muscles hurt, so they think that that's my big problem. So they don't know that some medicine can cure that. So those are the cases that we saw. Evangelism. It was very interesting this time because they actually took a brother that taught evangelism classes. He was teaching the church members in Tizimin how to evangelize, how to go and approach somebody to have a Bible study. We had men and women come to that class. The women said, can we come to that class? They were begging the people to say, please, we want to attend the class. The husband said, my wife said, if she can come. You know that that's when the women asked that they wanted to attend. It was full. It was a classroom full of people. And this is the amazing thing as well. When we were doing the VBS, the kids waited for the VBS to be over, especially the teens, to go to that class. They wanted to evangelize. They wanted to spread the gospel. They just don't know how to. They didn't know how to do it. That class had the most attendance that I have ever seen in any class that we have ever offered. So it was an amazing thing. It was a great thing to see that people, they realized, I want to teach, but I just don't know how to. So we offered that. Then we had children's Bible training class. Most of the teachers, Bible class teachers there, what they do is just teach a Bible lesson for about 15, 20 minutes to the children. You're talking about children ages maybe varying from 2 to 10 years old, one classroom only. You may have about 10 to 15 kids, ages from 2 to 10. You teach them for 30 minutes, and then you color a page of about the lesson. That's their Bible class. So when the ladies from the Beltland Church came and offered that Bible class, they were like, you can do that? You can do crafts? You know, you can do something else other than coloring? It was amazing. The ladies were like, give us more. You all need to come back because we need more of this. We need more of what we need to do to keep the kids' attention. I mean, can you imagine a 2-year-old sitting in a 30-minute Bible class? I have a 5-year-old and I'm struggling. All right? So, but I mean, just imagine that, how the teachers have to struggle with those things. They said, we need more of that. So that was the purpose of it. And then I did the VBS. Well, I work with VBS, and I've done that for the last 15 years that I've gone with them. VBS is one of those things that I will always do with them because I can see how kids can affect a congregation. If the kids love being there, they're going to beg their parents to come there, to bring them there. It's amazing how the churches have grown, that we've been into, that we've done that, because those kids, they enjoy the presence so much. And the hardest thing that breaks our hearts is every time that we leave, because they are truly sad to see us leave, to see us depart. Sometimes you can see them just coming and just giving you hugs. And the rule on a hug is if they don't let go, you don't let go. And it's quite amazing when they just don't let go. And they just, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, the boss is waiting. We really got to go. We've been saying goodbye for a good hour and a half, but we got to go. And they either hold your hand, they lock your elbow, and sometimes you're still pulling away, and they'll hold your forearm. You're still pulling away, they'll hold your hand. It's amazing. It's amazing how kids relate to people that show kindness, that show them the word of God, and there is that attachment that is there from them. That unique spirit, that pure spirit that you have nothing that you wanted from them, that all you wanted was to show them the love of Christ, and they just don't want to let go. That is amazing to see. Wouldn't that be awesome to do that in every... Can you imagine if everywhere was like that? Because you have that honest truth that you say, I want to love you because it's who you are. Because you were made in God's image. Because you are God's child. Because you are precious in the eyes of God. And they don't want to let go. That's what church feels to me. That's what it is. You don't want to let go. I don't want to leave this place. But, you know, I got to eat. So, but that's what VBS is. That's what we do for VBS. Another amazing thing. This year, the VBS class was on Bible heroes. And all the children love heroes. They all love talking about the Hulk, talking about Captain America, Spider-Man, all those things. And if you can relate it to the Bible, it's amazing because our true Bible hero was Jesus. What do we expect? What do we expect of people that go to those mission trips? It's amazing how a lot of things are different. But in this mission trip specifically, the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 7 comes to mind. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. Everything that he had, everything that Jesus had, he said, I'm putting it aside. I'm not bringing that. What I'm bringing is this. I'm bringing servanthood. He took the form of a servant. He took your form, all of our form. He took this body and he said, I'm going to make this body useful for God. And he did. He took that form. And that kind of made me think, what do we expect when we come to church? You've probably heard of people that said, you know, I just don't think I have my place in this church or this congregation. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to serve with. And I just don't know what my place is. Everybody has a place when we have that mindset. When we have that mentality, everybody has a place. Because if we're expecting this, I hope that Duane can serve me. I hope that David can serve me. I hope that Scott can serve me. And soon enough, I hope that Eric will serve me. If that's the mentality that we have, we're getting nowhere. The mentality is, I'm here in this world because I'm here to serve God's people. And if we have that, we will find our place in any congregation that we go to, any mission field that we go to, any family that we go to. We have to find our place because we are here to serve. God intended for us, intended for his church to be a servant church. It's not who can take care of me. It's not, is this church meeting my needs? Am I meeting the needs of this church? That is the question. That's the mentality. That's what we want to incur. That's what we want to implant in anybody that places membership, in anybody that is a member of this congregation, is what can I do for this congregation? How can I serve them? The mission field teaches us that. Because when we are there, we have no signal. Your phone has no signal. Your phone is only good to take pictures. That's it. And then it motivates you to talk with people. You have breakfast with the same people. You have lunch with the same people. You have dinner with the same people. You struggle with the same people. The bus breaks, yeah, even there, with the same people. I know. Yeah, but you see, it's just one of those things. When you put everything aside, everything that is distracting us from this world, we don't talk to people anymore. You know, I think I'm going to get back to wishing people happy birthday by phone. Because I know Facebook is a good reminder. But it just doesn't feel as close, does it? It feels very special when somebody actually says, I wanted to call you to wish you happy birthday. Have a good day. That's it. No more. Because, you know, I think we've been very distracted. I think the world, Satan is making this world a distracted world where we don't interact with each other, where we don't know the needs of each other. Because everybody puts nice things, everybody puts this front, and I do too, but we all have needs. And we need to find those needs in order to serve our brethren. Every morning we start with a prayer, we hold hands, everybody has to hold hands. The local brethren, they hold hands. Everybody, even, this is interesting, when they saw us holding hands for the prayer, the people that came to the clinic that were waiting there, they started holding hands too. Yeah, they didn't know each other. They were neighbors. I was like, okay, everybody's holding hands. Let's hold hands. It was so interesting. It was so funny. And some people, you know, are adamant about holding hands. But, you know, there it is. They hold hands. And we pray that everything we'll do will be to glorify God, that we will help the people that we're there, and that we remember our place, that is to be servants. You have all kinds of people working there. You have the ladies from the congregation. You have the ladies teaching Bible class. We don't have much seating, so we have to switch seats all over the place. If we need more seating in the clinic, they start taking the seats from one area to the other. And then when it's time for lunch, we're sitting either on the floor, on the concrete, or we're finding the shade of a tree, just anywhere you can sit. But what is so awesome is that it doesn't matter. It's like sometimes it's like, I want to sit at home. It's like, I want my recliner. but when we're there, it really doesn't matter. If you can find a wall, it's fine. Somewhere to recline your back. It's great. A little bit of a shade, it's great. Because we're there to serve. The kids, They love that VBS because, you know, we dress them as superheroes. We put that mask on. We put the cape. They really thought they could fly. They were jumping from the table to the chair. They were jumping from they were climbing the tree so they can jump and see that cape move in the back. It was amazing. You know, I forgot when is the last time I played like that. Was it last week? You know, it's amazing to see the genuine playing spirit of these children. You know, because they thought we owned the world. We played with a beach ball. Just an inflatable, small beach ball. I took that out so we can play with the kids. And we were playing. All of a sudden, more kids started to come. Everybody wanted to push it in the air. You know, we're trying to keep it within the circle. We're like, don't let it fall, don't let it fall. A couple of minutes later, a couple of adults come in, and they want to play too. It was amazing. What would happen if we threw a beach ball right now? Do you think somebody will just, like, try to hit it? Let's not do that. I'm just saying. All right? But I think everybody wants to touch it, doesn't it? Everybody wants to just, like, let's pop it. Or doesn't matter who they are. And then you start talking. Where do you live? Where are you from? What do you do? Why did you come to see the doctor today? You get to connect with people. Just kicking a ball. Then that gentleman right there, I tell you, everybody loves baseball. He's a member of the church. And he was a sort of sought-out player by the Mexican League. But he didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave his town of Napalan. I don't even know where that is. He didn't want to leave it. But he said he was sought out. He had a good arm. He was teaching us. He was showing us. And you probably can see him holding the ball, how he would hold it when he would pitch. I don't know how fast he threw, but he said that he threw pretty fast. Nobody could touch his fastball. Nobody. It's amazing. We took his picture. When we found out that he liked baseball, the church in Beltline got him 5 baseballs. He's never had that many baseballs. 5. Isn't that amazing? Then there's another picture of the clinic. Then when we were done, like I said, we had to switch things. And when this is what is so awesome. When kids see you work, you know what they're going to do? They're going to work. They saw us moving the chairs, and they just finished coloring, and we're under that tarp. You know how hot that is? The adults mind, the kids don't. The kids don't. I could think this because they're used to it, maybe. But when you're coloring, you're having a good time, it's just, it doesn't matter. When you're with your friends, when you're with your brothers and sisters, when you are with people that care about you, it doesn't matter. And so once we were done, we start taking the tables, we start taking the chairs to the next location. And look at that. I thought I needed to take a picture because the kids are carrying the tables too. You know, that tells me a lot about the example that I need to be setting wherever I go. I think we need to work. Work. They see you work, and people are going to work. They see you set that pace, and they're just going to do it. And I could tell you a whole lot more about what happened, but Ray's giving me the eye, so that's it, right? No, I'm kidding. Ray's going to talk to you. I just really want to leave a lot of time for Ray as well. Baja was an amazing trip, but I will let my brother tell you about it.
I think I have an intro. Buenas tardes, mis hermanos and mis hermanas en Cristo. I said last year that I was going to learn Spanish by this year, and you have just heard the extent of what I learned. I may have learned a few more words, but it's pretty spotty. But next year, this coming year, I will learn at least 2 more sentences. Set it a little bit lower. I wish I had more time. We are all so excited. We just got back last night. The trip again this year was amazing. We went back to Baja. We went back to Diaz Ordaz this year. And it was just incredible. I have to put these two verses up here because it just read them to you. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Romans 10:13-14, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not have believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? These people need us, and they are longing for us to be there. And they are just so enthused to see us come down there and to try to speak their language and to try to communicate with them. It just fills your heart so much. I just encourage everyone who is not or has before, we're ready to go back. I know the planning has to take place, but we're already ready to go back. I first wanted to introduce you to the team. I'm not going to read all the names, but you can see them all up there. These are the 18 people that River Chase sent. If I had more time, I would have photoshopped in Ron Jackson. He was supposed to be with us. He was there in spirit. We sorely missed him. We talked about him a lot in a good way. But if I could have, I definitely would have photoshopped him in there. Also want to give a shout out to Helen Haskew and all the ladies that worked on the hearts for us. The kids absolutely love them. They were really a big hit, so thank you so much to all of you that had something to do with that. David said the Yucatan was really, really hot. Baja was really, really beautiful. If you think about the weather in San Diego, where it basically never gets above 80 degrees, it gets cold in Baja more than it gets hot. It can get cold in the middle of the day if you're standing in the shade. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. There's not a lot of greenery. It's desert, but it is beautiful. So if you're thinking about going and don't want to go because you're going to get too hot, Baja's the place to go because it is, I'm just trying to sell it. But it's absolutely beautiful. The Friday night, all 18 of us got together when we got to Ensenada. So what we did was we went to Diaz Ordaz with the group from Gunnersville and the group from Moulton, those churches. I think we had about 45 people this year. It was a great trip. Love the people from both of those churches. Everybody works together and feels like family, and it's just such a good vibe, and you miss them like family when you're leaving. And it was just a wonderful time. But we all got together on Friday night because our group left Diaz Ordaz and went up to see a new site that I'm going to be telling you about in a little bit. So we went back up to Ensenada. That night in Ensenada, we decided to all sit around and talk about the things that affected us most while we were in Diaz Ordaz. We talked for two and a half hours, just sitting around talking about the things that inspired us, that we saw, that was just on our hearts. And it was the most amazing 2 to 2.5 hours just recapping everything that we had just lived, because we were all at different stations. This year we did the same thing as last year. We had medical, dental, pharmacy, we had registration, we had haircuts. There was something for everyone to do. And of course our kitchen. But because we have all those different stations, you have a whole bunch of different stories. Not everybody gets to see everything. So we sat around and we told what we saw. I wanted to tell you a few of those stories because they were very touching. I want you to meet Francisco. That's not really the way to spell his name, but I was in a hurry. So that may be the way he spells it. You don't know. Francisco, Laura and Kelsey Scott were helping out in optometry as they did 2 years ago. And Laura was working the eye chart for everyone that would come up. She would ask them to read the eye chart to gauge, you know, how well they could see. Little Francisco stood up and stood that certain distance away from the eye chart. He could not read one line of the eye chart, not even the big E at the top, I believe it was. And kids had made fun of him and laughed at him because he could never read. And he was really shy about it, as you could imagine. And, you know, it really gave him a complex. So Laura took him back to Dr. Tim Nichols from Gunnersville, the optometrist that we had. And Dr. Tim examined him and gave him some glasses. And when he put those glasses on little Francisco, his face lit up like you would not believe. He started reading everything. He could read the chart. He was reading things around him. He was smiling from ear to ear, just lighting up the room. And then when Dr. Tim decided to give him three pairs of glasses, because, you know, kids break glasses, but he wanted him to have them. So he gives him his glasses, and he goes on to the next station, which happened to be the children's area, where Weston, Willow, Maggie, and Ilea were working at the time with the kids, along with Dina from Gunnersville Church. And he got in there, and again, he started reading everything, and he walked up to the blackboard that they had in there, and he read it, and he said, "What's this about?" And it was the plan of salvation that they had written on the board. And he was so excited about it. And he even asked for a Bible. And then, of course, they gave him a Bible. And then he just started coloring, and he was so excited. Because just to be able to color, to see the lines, and to be able to read, and to be so enthused about Scripture, as you can imagine, that was so uplifting to all of us, because this little boy was struggling in his life. And because we went there and helped him, his eyes were open. His eyes were open physically, and his eyes were open spiritually, because he did want that Bible, and he wanted to read, and he wanted to learn. And it just touches your heart, but at the same time, it humbles you. Because you think about us, and you think about, how's our vision? How are we doing? Can we read all the lines? Is our vision sometimes blurred? Do we sometimes close our eyes to the Word? Little Francisco taught us a lot that week, as did many of the other kids. It was truly just amazing. I always say it, we go down there to help these people as much as we can, but we all know every single one of us is getting so much more out of it than they are. We are being so uplifted and so touched and so humbled, because these people have so little, but they don't know that. They know that they have God and they have Christ, and now they have a place that they can come to worship. And preachers are being taught down there, and churches are being developed all along the Baja Peninsula. And it's just amazing the work that is being done down there. One other thing that I wanted to point out, actually a couple of other things, just real quick. David said that they were doing haircuts in the Yucatan. Well, we were doing haircuts too. Actually, we were doing haircuts and hair styling and everything that you can think of. And I will tell you, we set it that night. We set it Friday night. And I was one of the ones that highly underestimated the value of a haircut. That might be obvious, but I wanted my hair done in some way, shape, or form after seeing all of these people. And Georgia told me she would do what she could. I think she did pretty well. But it's truly amazing, because you would have all of these boys that would come in as tough little boys, and you know, she would appeal to them and say, let me cut your hair. And most of them were like, no, like they were tough, just like us here. But then they would see their friends getting haircuts, and they would see the smiles that their friends had, and suddenly they would cave and they would get their hair cut. And all of a sudden, these tough guys became smiling, just jubilant, funny guys that were just so excited about their new haircut. And the opposite extreme, too. Some boys and some girls would come in so shy, and they were kind of closed in. But then Georgia would work on them, and she would work her miracles, if you will. And all of a sudden, they were so happy and jubilant, and it was just amazing to see. And let me tell you something. Georgia Vaughn is a trooper. She worked herself to the bone. She was working all day, every day. And notice some of these pictures. So the picture on your top left, that was her station. That was where she was cutting hair. Look at some of the other pictures. Look at the picture on the bottom right down there. Or look at the picture. I don't remember which is which. There are several pictures in there where she's not at her station, but she's still fixing hair. We would go to eat, and someone would sit down in a chair, and she'd start braiding their hair. She was doing it the very first day that we got there. It was so amazing. She was just constantly working, constantly on her feet, and constantly telling people, sit down. She not only cuts hair, she gives massages, by the way. Gary's a very lucky man, so am I. But if you've noticed how relaxed Gary is, Georgia gives amazing massages. She would, again, there was a line. She would just tell people to sit down, and she would give these just amazing massages. To all of the people that had worked all day long, that were tense from doing whatever they were doing, she was there to help. So she was truly amazing. And speaking of amazing, I want y'all to be really proud of all the young adults that you saw in that first picture. I haven't gone on very many mission trips or anything with our young adults. I don't have those opportunities. But wow, I saw them in action this week. I know y'all already know it, but they are truly amazing. I mean, they got in the building. It wasn't even the first day of clinic. This was the day before when we were just trying to figure out who's going to do what. They got right to work. They were sorting vitamins. They were doing whatever they needed to do. They just jumped right in there and started working and started saying, what can I do? And when the kids showed up, there was never a kid that didn't have one of our young adults with them. It was truly amazing to see them in action. And I tried my best to walk around and just watch. Because it just, again, it just humbled me to see them reach out and to see their hearts was just incredible. And seriously, be proud of them, because they are special people. One other thing that I wanted to mention that was one of the stories told that Friday night, and it was told by Weston Howe, and I think it really touched all of us. As you know, David Durantes was down there with us. We had another interpreter. His name was Alejandro. He was our singer. He has an absolutely beautiful voice. Led singing for us every time we sang. And they worked themselves to the bone, too. And by the way, David said I can't remember the last time I played that hard. Well, that was last week. David was hanging with all the young adults. We're talking playing soccer, playing games till the wee hours of the night after they had worked all day long. He exhausted himself just to keep everyone entertained. It was truly amazing to watch. But both he and Alejandro grew up in these areas in Mexico. They were the little kids that we were helping last week. And now David is here, and David is helping our kids to become the Christian leaders that they need to be and that they are. They already are. It is an amazing pay it forward story, if you will. Because David started out just like this, and now he's bringing Christ not just here, but everywhere that he can. And to me, that's truly amazing, and I truly appreciate him. So, what's next? We went to Diaz Ordaz. We worked with Gunnersville, and we worked with Moulton. I think we've learned enough. It's time to branch out, and it's time to start our own thing. We're going to help start a new church. We have partnered with Granny White Pike in Nashville, Tennessee, and construction has already begun. You can see where Diaz Ordaz is. It's pretty far south. From the border, it probably takes about 4 hours to get there. And there are churches. There are churches of Christ all down that border. We've had another graduate, if you will, from Liberato School. His name is Jose. His wife's name is Maddie. And they just had a little boy named Caleb. They are the Velasquez family. Caleb was 3 weeks old when we saw him. And they are raring to go and ready. They have found a community that is in need of the Church of Christ. And they have already met 5 weeks under a tent on this site. They have a tent set up just so they can meet. On this site, we're going to be building a house for Liberato, the director of the school. We're going to be building a house for Jose and Maddie. We're going to be building a sanctuary, and we're going to be building a clinic. We have so much work ahead of us, and we are so excited about it. There's going to be a lot of planning this year for all of this, and we need you. As the year progresses, we will give more and more information. There's a lot that we have to think through. Some of it's exciting. Some of it's a little scary. But we can do this. We as a family can pull together. So I encourage you. There is so much opportunity ahead of us. We're going to be looking for your talent, every single one of your talents. We're particularly looking for doctors, pharmacists, optometrists, physical therapists, hairstylist, you name it, they could use it. So, like I said, throughout the year, we're going to be giving you more and more information about it, but we're excited about it because we are helping this area grow, and there are so many children throughout the entire Baja Peninsula that truly need us, because we can reach those children and pull the parents in. And it works. We've seen it work at all the other churches. There are about 16 established churches already. So this is not something that we're going to go down there and try and see if it works. It is proven. It is something that is extremely effective and truly works. And it is opportunities for us to serve. I am truly excited about the future that we have in Baja. And just encouraged by it every minute. I hope you are too. They have taught us so much. about daily living and about our walk with Christ, and the things that we take for granted and the things that we cherish. It was truly amazing, and again, truly humbling. So I can't say enough about it. I encourage each and every one of you. You saw the people that went. Talk to each one of them. Like I said, we talked for 2.5 hours and probably could have talked for 10 hours more just about the thing. So I encourage you to talk to every single one of them and get their stories, because I can't tell them all, and I can't tell them the way that they would tell them. So if you can, reach out to them and see how their trip was. We're so thankful for every single one of your support. We are truly blessed. We're blessed as a family and blessed as a church. How is your walk with Christ? How are you doing? Are you ready to become a Christian if you have not done so already? Are you struggling and need our help? We're here for you. We want to pray for you. If you need anything, please come as we stand and sing.